Thank you, Jeff. Let me invite you to again open to the passage we began with in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Most of you have developed a level of competency in some area of life. Many in this congregation have developed competency as educators. We've got a lot of those here. We've got those in the field of medicine that are employed at one of the hospitals. So you've developed some competency in the field of medicine. Whatever your selected profession is, you have learned to do well in some area. It may even be competency in some sport, or in some particular hobby where you have gained some level of expertise. We all have something that we're good at. There's no one here who is completely incompetent in all areas of life. Now, sometimes we may feel that way, but that's just not true. You may be good at hunting turkeys, or you may be good at soccer, or you may be good at baking, or at math. But the question this morning that I want us to ask ourselves is this: how competent are you at being a Christian? Where's your competency in this area? Now, the Apostle Paul was a very competent individual. He was competent educationally. If he lived today, he would have been a PhD. He was very scholarly, very knowledgeable, but he felt totally defeated in his Christian walk. An apostle of God, the greatest missionary the world has ever known, yet he felt defeated, he felt incompetent in many ways as a Christian. He claimed the title of the biggest loser in this category of Christian competency. Now, he used different words. He said, "I'm the chief of sinners." So it's interesting when we come to this section in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 where he writes about Christian competency to see what he has to say on this subject. Read with me again these verses. Let's begin this time at verse 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You know that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Paul begins by talking about two things that are not the basis of our competency in Christ. The first one is self-commendation. Now, I could tell you, I am a good Christian, and I do all these great things, and I read my Bible, and I could brag on myself, and I could tell you by way of self-commendation how competent I am. But Paul says that's not the way to do it. It doesn't happen through self-commendation. He says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again?" The implied answer is no. That's not the way to feel adequate. That's not the way to feel self-assured. In fact, all that results in, if you follow that line of reasoning, is you turn into a braggart. You turn into a self-promoter. I read recently about a young man who joined a law firm, and it was a very prestigious law firm, and he wanted to really come across as one who was very competent and knew what he was doing. And so they had a power lunch one day, and they all went in, and he ordered his sandwich, and he got a milkshake, And he put the sandwich and the milkshake on his briefcase, and he was walking over to the table where they were meeting with one of the clients. And he was dressed to the nines and looked very much the part. And as he was walking, he just bent down. He wanted to take a sip out of his milkshake, carrying it on the briefcase. And he missed his mouth, and instead the straw went into his nose. He quickly wanted to recover before anyone saw him, so he jerked his head up, and instead of the straw coming out of his nose, it came out of the milkshake and started to dribble all down the front of his $500 suit. Now, you know, sometimes we want to look the part, but deep inside, all of us have levels of incompetency that are rather embarrassing at times. Paul wrote in the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 3, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." You know, making yourself look good is not the answer to competence as a Christian. We may fool other people, but we know our own flaws and our own failures, and we know that we simply can't claim competency before God. Well, he talks about another way. He says, "Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you?" I'm frequently called on to write letters of recommendation for folks who are going through job interviews or who are trying to get into college or university. And I always try to be honest in my letter of recommendation, and I try to be very positive in the things that I say. We've all had to ask people for letters of recommendation, or we've supplied them for others, and we know that those are valuable. One employee needed a letter of recommendation, and he was a rather lazy employee. And he asked his boss, "Would you give me a letter of recommendation so when I move to the next community I can get a job?" And that boss was in a real quandary. What could he say? The man had been lazy. So he sat down, and this is what he wrote. He said, "If you can get John Smith to work for you, you will be extremely fortunate. Take it whatever way you want to." Now, if your confidence is based solely on what other people think about you or what glowing things they may write about you, then you will never feel self-assured, because that's always based on another man's opinion. And we all know that people are often wrong in their assessments. They're often fickle in their assessments. Their tastes are so different. I mean, one person may prefer this kind of personality and another one another. So you can't base your self-worth on what other people think. One wise man has said, "If you worry too much about what people think of you, you will probably be disappointed to learn that they seldom do." So if neither self-commendation, bragging on myself, nor the commendation of others is the basis of my Christian competency, then what is the basis of such competency? Because Paul, in this opening paragraph, is saying that we can be competent as Christians, and we should be competent as we stand before God. But what's the basis of that? Well, he says, first of all, that a part of it is seen in the lives of those to whom he ministers. Look in verses 2 and 3. He says, "You yourselves," talking about the Corinthian church, "you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart." You see, Paul had gone to Corinth. He had labored among those people. He had loved those people. He had borne with those people. He had gone back to visit them. He had written letters to them. And because of Paul's influence in the lives of those people that otherwise would have comprised a pagan community, many from that community had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Many of them were growing, maturing in Christ. Lives had been changed for the better as a result of Paul's ministry among those people. Now, we evaluate a school by its students. We evaluate a company by its product. And we evaluate a church by those who are coming to Christ, being led to Christ, and those who are maturing in Christ. The story is told about a lady, an American lady, who was visiting in England, and she went on the tour of one of those big cathedrals. And the docent who was showing the tour group through that great cathedral was bragging on the beautiful stained glass windows in the cathedral and the beautiful carved stones that comprised that lofty roof and how the choir stalls were carved back in medieval times. And on the docent went describing how magnificent that cathedral was. And finally, the little American lady raised her hand and she said, "How many people were saved in this church last year?" You know, that is the question. It's not the beauty of the facility. It's what is happening among the people that comprise the church. Are people being led to the Lord? Are people growing in the Lord? Are they overcoming struggles? Are they seeing victories in their life? That's the test of a church. Now, Paul didn't convert everyone he taught in the city of Corinth. He didn't fix all their problems. In fact, many of their problems were ongoing, as we see from these two letters we have to the Corinthian churches. But everywhere Paul went, he exerted a positive influence for Christ. Now, let me ask you the question again. Are you a competent Christian? In part, now only in part, but in part, that question is answered by what you are doing within your own personal circle of influence. What kind of impact have you made and are you making within your own family? What kind of impact have you made and are you making among your circle of friends? What kind of impact have you made and are you making within your co-workers? Are you one who builds people up and by your influence draws them closer to Christ? Or do you tend to have a negative influence on the people that you're around? There's a movie that was out years ago with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt. And one of the scenes in that movie just has a classic line in it. They're sitting at a table and Helen Hunt says to him, "Give me a compliment." And he couldn't think of a compliment. And she said, "If you don't give me a compliment, I'm leaving." And finally, he reaches down in the depths of his soul and he comes up with the best compliment I think any human can ever give another one. He says to her, "You make me want to be a better man." You know, that's what Paul did. Everywhere he went, he made people want to be better people. He led them to Christ. He drew them to be more like Jesus. I hope people can say that about everyone here. That your friends, your circle of influence can say of you, you know, he or she makes me want to live my life more closely for Jesus Christ. Well, the test of how competent you are as a Christian is seen in the measure of your ministry, what you do. And this church is comprised of people who are involved in all kinds of ministry. And so we're graded on that basis. But there's a problem here. And the bottom line is that I don't always act like I should within my circle of influence. I don't. Within my family, I've not always been the best example. There are times when I could have done things that I left undone because I was lazy or because I was selfish. I don't always do what I ought to do within my circle of influence. And so if I depend on that alone for my competency, I will fail. I just can't be that good. And you can't either. And so Paul goes on and he gives us the foundational basis of our competency as Christians. Look what he says in verses 4 through 6. He says, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God." You can be absolutely confident that you are competent as a Christian, as competent as some scholar is, as some scientist is, who has developed a level of expertise in their area of work. You can be confident, but it's not going to come through you and what you can do and through your efforts, however successful you may have been in your circle of influence. It will come only through Christ as you stand before God. He says in verse 5, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, the bottom line is that all my righteousness is as filthy rags. You want to know the truth? I am incompetent as a Christian, and so are you. We're sinners. We're failures. We've missed the mark. But Paul says, I can claim confidence on the basis of what Jesus Christ did for me. Jesus alone lived the life of a Christian competently. He never sinned. He never failed. He always did the good that he knew he should do. He always followed through. He always built people up. He always challenged when he needed a challenge. He always loved when he needed to love. He always did the right thing. And Jesus at the cross has given that gift of competency to you and me. It's called salvation. I can claim competency as I stand before God, not because of anything I have done or will do in this life, but because of what Jesus did. He, Paul says, has made us competent. You know, that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was written on tables of stone. The New is written within, on the heart. One's external, one's internal. In Hebrews chapter 10, down in verses 15 and following, the writer there says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and he goes on and talks, that's where our confidence is. Our confidence is that we don't live under law, we live under grace. We have a Savior who's forgiven us, who's taken away all the stupid, incompetent things we have ever done or will do. And he has given us his level of competency. And by that and that alone, we stand before God and will stand before Him. I'm so grateful that when I do stupid things and when I violate God's laws, that I am not forever penalized by those laws. I'm grateful that I have a Savior who bled on the cross and that by His blood I can be cleansed. It'll be wonderful on that day when we do stand before God to be able to do so and to be able to stand as competent servants of the Lord Jesus Christ with a competency that's not our own, but that's given to us by the Savior. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, or if you need the cleansing that only He provides, we hope and pray that you'll respond in faith this morning and that you will allow Him to make you competent to stand before God, because one day you will. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.